Carlo, you're here in Edmonton at a conference that's looking at nanotechnology and forest products. And today you were speaking about nano-enabled biomaterials and sustainable living. Perhaps what you could do first of all for me is define what nano-enabled biomaterials are.
Well, nano-enabled biomaterials uses the basic raw molecular constituencies of living systems, reorganize them the way we want to create new materials that have functionality that we engineer into the materials. For example, things that I talked about were we're using molecules like aquaporin, which is found in your kidneys and the red blood cells that purify water with very, very low energy. We incorporate them into membranes that allow us to purify water at very, very low cost, opening up large areas of opportunity for regions that are water starved. I also talk about using biological molecules to create biological fuel cells to produce electricity from sunlight very efficiently and more economically than currently made with conventional photovoltaics. And finally, I talked about the possibility and the experiments that we've done to use photosynthesis engineered into a material to produce fuels that are much more efficient, have much higher amount of energy produced per square hectare, and doesn't use the water resources that current biological fuels use, so that we have a renewable resources for allowing us to support mobile transportation.
This sounds to me like a person needs a whole different mindset to look at engineering and biology.
Well, it's engineering in its most fundamental form. It's looking at molecules not as chemicals that bond with one another, but at molecules as unit operators, that each molecule performs a specific engineered function. And then being an engineer, we look at how we reorganize these engineered functions to create systems that produce the outcome that we're looking for.
What does all this have to do with forestry or forest product?
Well, forest products produces a large amount of biomass, but all of their focus has been on cellulose. I mean, that's what they do. They look at using wood, fiber, and pulp, and that's what they focus on. There is a huge amount of potential resources in terms of the fundamental biological components that supported the living mechanism of the tree that we should be able to harvest and be able to use as value-added products, products that have more value maybe intrinsically than the actual fiber that they're so heavily focused on.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, the examples that I talked about were extracting out proteins for making materials that produce electricity, making materials that purify water, making materials that perform functions like filtering, sorting different sorts of molecules, materials that have high level of functionality, and the raw materials that we need to use this are the basic chemical constituencies that are found within the cells within the trees. So you keep the cellulose and you use the cellulose for making your fiber products, but you don't throw away the garbage. You extract out these molecules, which we can use to make very high-value products, and use them as a raw material that we transform into high-value new novel products for supporting the economy.
Well, when you look at the typical, say, pulp and paper plants that we have today or lumber mills, what kinds of changes would have to happen in those plants to accommodate this new sort of nanotech approach to forest products?
I think what has to happen is we have to develop, first off, identify which of the fundamental components you want to have for your nearest term markets, and then do separations of the material, and particularly the waste streams that we use to extract them. So you would have a separate separation technology system for getting out these proteins that you would want to use in your new value-added practice, in addition to having your normal stream of wood and paper pulp.
How does this fit into then the idea of sustainable living?
Well, we're looking at making products that instead of being petroleum-based or based upon non-renewable resources, that are all based upon renewable resources. So it enables sustainable living. The idea is that we transform our entire economy and consumable objectives that are based right now all on petroleum products, and we shift it all to products that are come as a result of agricultural renewable processes, so that we go everywhere from paints and coatings all the way through to the smart materials like we discussed. And that instead of having everything be petroleum-based now, we use the foundation materials to be things that are renewable. And that's what creates sustainability. It also, by the way, because of the way the systems work, it also helps reduce our carbon footprint, because it takes the carbon that comes out of the atmosphere and just recycles it. And so we're not releasing carbon that's been trapped millions of years ago into the atmosphere.
What's the timeline on this new technology? When would it be integrated into our economy?
I think that some of the technologies are as close as a year and a half away. So it's very, very close. Water purification in particular is probably a year and a half away. Some of the more complex technologies are within the 4 to 5 year horizon. This is coming very, very fast. This is not new. This is stuff that's been worked on since 1999, so it's 10 years old being developed. So it's like, oh my goodness, he developed something new and it's going to come out in 3 or 4 years. No, it's been over 10 years in development. We're coming up to the point now, you know, of a 10 to 15 year horizon where a new technology is emerging and can become commercialized, and we're coming very, very close to that.
What is the take-home message then that you have tried to leave with the people here at this conference?
The big take-home message is to look outside the box. And I know that that's really, really difficult and it's a trite saying, but the fact of the matter is it's very easy when you're in the industry to view everything as if you're a hammer and everything's a nail. So when they look outside the box they see is wood. And what they need to do is they need to step out of the box and say, no, what do I produce? I produce a biological resource that currently we use only the wood cellulose components, but there are other components which are there which we're ignoring. Let's take a look at what those other components and see how the new technologies allowed us to make these valuable components that we can then transform into a new industry.
Thank you very much, Carlo.
It was my pleasure.